Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, it's been a quiet off season.
You know, you need time to sort of prepare to become a felon. You know, you got to really work at it, put in the time, the effort to get a real proper crime.
We're talking quarterbacks and TV networks.
How many television networks do you guys have? All these AMWs and CWs and frogs.
And our guest is using vocab our superfan in Scotland can appreciate.
You have waltzed bad quarterback after bad quarterback in our midst. We're on a big stage, and you send us this jalopy.
All that and more, here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Yeah Right edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Pod Vader. Yeah Right, because I just said 45 minutes, guys, put it on the clock. And Superfan Rob said, yeah, right. And I agree. There's probably no way. First of all, I already know I have a half hour long interview with our guest this week, Cole Johnson of Cole Sports. You're going to want to tune in and listen to that. We talk a lot about his Texans, Mitch Trubisky getting booed, and the Cleveland Browns. That's what not getting better looks like. We talk a lot about that in that interview, so tune in for that. But we got some news, and we have some other fun topics, which you actually participated in this week. Yes, you guys out there, you tweeted us back at NFU Podcast and at The Real Pod Vader. So I'm super excited about getting into quarterbacks, their personalities. What TV show or TV channel best fits that? We're going to get into that and have some fun with that topic. But before I get way ahead of myself, let me introduce you to all of the super fans that are joining me on today's show. And I already mentioned him once, so I'll start with him. And that is Rob, our Bills superfan. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Pod Vader. Hello, everyone.
It's a lovely day, I hear, in Florida.
It usually is.
All right, I don't want to hear it. Okay, let's head on across the pond to our Scottish Washington Redskins superfan, Neil. Hello, Neil.
I'm having a terrible.
So that sound that you just heard was Neil leaving us. Unfortunately, we're having some technical problems. I'm sure it has something to do with those winds that we get all the time from across the pond. So let's skip to prison zone 6, where apparently the cell reception is much better than the connections to across the pond. Hello, Kevin, our Cowboy superfan.
Hello, Jay. Hello, everyone else. Pleasure to be here yet again. It's still a miracle how they haven't found my cell phone I've been harboring in this jail cell for the last 10 months. So I'm going to try to keep up the good work.
That would be fantastic. All right. Hey, I mentioned Twitter. You can also email us nextfanup@gmail.com. If you want to subscribe to the show and leave us a review, you could do that too. Anywhere great podcasts are heard, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, that would be fantastic as well. We do have a little bit of news to get through today, and I'm going to start with the New England Patriots, because of course, why wouldn't I start with the New England Patriots? They did a very Patriots thing by giving a rare unrestricted free agent tender to LeGarrette Blount. Now, apparently, what this does is just give, let's see here, what it means is if Blount remains unsigned past July 22nd, he can play only for the Patriots during the 2017 season. The tender carries a value of $2.1 million for Blount, and that includes money earned via incentives and base salary. And they had to extend this tender because on May 9th, any unrestricted free agent that signed with another team would no longer qualify for a compensatory pick to that team. So this is the Patriots managing their roster and managing their future draft picks, Rob.
Yeah, I saw this. I was confused. I can't remember the last time I saw something like this happen. It's going to be interesting to see. Like, say he, you know, chances are if he's going to play this year, he's going to play for New England. Man, that loaded backfield just gets more loaded as far as people. And also earlier this week, I think I saw maybe yesterday, Christine Michael was in town for a visit. Christine Michael recently cut by the Packers. So man, they're just trying to get like 9 running backs in New England, apparently.
There's no way all of these running backs stay on the squad. The ding you heard might have been Neil returning. Neil, are you back?
I am back, Jay, and back just in time to say what a terrible, terrible move by those Patriots to do this to Blunt. For goodness sake, try be nice to the guy. He's had a great season last year. Took you to help you to the Super Bowl, and you go and stab him in the back here. This is all about compensatory picks, and you guys don't even like draft picks. So it's really mean. Don't like it at all. Let him go.
No, see, actually, I feel like it just guarantees him a job. And no one else had signed him up to this point. So, hey, New England's like, come June 22nd, you've got a job with us. May not be the amount of money you want, but...
can you explain to me the Week 10 thing?
The Week 10 thing? No, I cannot, because I just read about this July 22nd, not June 22nd thing, which I was unaware of. So do you have a better idea of what this Week 10 thing is?
This I know a little bit about this. Week 10 is when the compensatory schedule ends. And the only reason I know that is reading a thing about the Buffalo Bills and their compensatory picks this year. But if they so when they do the compensatory calculator, it ends at Week 10. So if, say, you had a guy on your team and you cut him before Week 10 that figured into that equation, he would no longer be a part of that equation. But if you did it after Week 10, he would be involved. And since this involves draft picks, that's kind of what the deal is. Week 10.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with this at all. This is just business. Now, you know, if Blount, you know, wants more money, I mean, to me, this is more about other teams trying to not give the Patriots an advantage. That's all this sounds like to me, because I'm reading headlines that because of this, the Ravens most likely will no longer pursue LeGarrette Blount, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. Kevin?
Doesn't make much sense to me either. Really, this whole situation doesn't make much sense to me. I don't have much interest in the situation. It just, while we were talking about this, though, the only thing I could think of really was how and who could have predicted that LeGarrette Blount's NFL career would be so long? I mean, from the night in 2009 or 10 or whatever, when I saw him completely punch a Boise State player right in the face after a game, and then his troubles in Tampa Bay, his mishaps with some weed here and there, it is a miracle he's been in the league so long. I just want to get that off my chest. Could anyone have predicted he'd have like an 8-year career? Not I.
Yeah, I think
that's a lot to say about him.
I think it's definitely an interesting case of the Patriots knowing what the rules are and utilizing them to their advantage. Speaking of Patriots, former Patriot, although he was only there for a very brief cup of coffee, Michael Floyd, the troubled wide receiver, now in Minnesota. One could make jokes about alcoholism and boats in the land of lakes, but I won't go there, Neil.
No, Jay, you clearly have a higher set of standards than I do, but even I will refrain from that. I would say this does debunk the whole myth a little bit, doesn't it, about the Patriots taking veteran players and turning trash into gold. He did nothing with you guys, did he?
He played one game where he made some big catches, but he was mostly sitting on the bench and not utilized at all.
What does the term "some big catches" mean? Does that mean he caught the ball once on a third down?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, just to be clear. He's a hugely talented player, Floyd, but he's never really done it in his career. He's had flashes, hasn't he, where you think, yeah, okay, this is going to be the Michael Floyd we're going to see. But for all his size, his speed, and all the sort of physical attributes he has, something's lacking there in his game.
And I think what's lacking is the work ethic an NFL player needs to be a great player. I think that's pretty much
that was a knockout of him coming out of Notre Dame too. Like, definitely surefire first round potential, but every team was pretty much questioning his work ethic. I mean, he still was a first round pick, if I recall correctly, but that's been the knock on him his entire career, and doesn't seem like he cares to change that image.
It's the same old story for players, isn't it? Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
The another,
which is the motto for this podcast.
Good point, Neil. Another wide receiver in the news, Titans Tajay Sharp and a teammate of his are accused of an assault, a bar assault. This happened on April 27th, the night of the first round of the NFL draft. He is accused of beating up Dante Satterfield, while offensive lineman Sebastian Tratola served as a lookout. This is according to a report in the Tennessean. It doesn't seem like it's a good thing here for Tajay Sharp, Rob. Apparently a wide receiver you have some interest in.
Ironically, Neil, you might remember this. Tajay Sharp at the combine last year got ridiculed because he had such small hands. But apparently that didn't affect him the night of the draft. And this is just a heads up to everyone out there. If you're in a bar the night of the draft and you see a player whose team took used a top five pick to someone to replace you from the starting lineup, don't make fun of them because they're going to be drunk and angry.
It's not a good look. Try to, you know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit with Cole coming up here in just a few minutes, but it seems like it's been a very quiet offseason. The NFL players seem to have gotten all of the memos, like, don't go out and be stupid and get yourself in trouble. Maybe Tajay Sharp missed that memo.
There's plenty of time, Jay. Plenty of time.
That is true.
You've got to build yourself up to some, you know, you need time to sort of prepare to become a felon. You know, you got to really work at it, put in the time, the effort to get a real proper crime to make the news these days.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin's team knows all about that.
Oof, my God, that is a low blow. taking a stride. The Cowboys have nothing but an organization of flash and high character, but I don't know where that comment came from.
I was just being mean. That's
I know,
all.
I know.
In the land of free agency, a quarterback has found a team, and that quarterback is the real American, Blaine Gabbert, who has signed a one-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. So interesting decision there out of Arizona. They have a number of backup quarterbacks that I feel are more than capable of backing up Carson Palmer. Is Blaine Gabbert really an improvement to the guys that are sitting on their bench now, Robert?
I don't think so. I actually saw a couple funny quotes from this from Bruce Arians that he said that quote, well, this guy has not played with wide receivers at this level before, and that Gabbert fits their system perfectly. So apparently their system is to run around like a dumpster fire at any and all pressure coming their way.
Kevin, you know, your team, you had mentioned earlier, would you be surprised if Dak got injured in week 4, Tony Romo coming out of the booth and throwing BBs like he hasn't missed a step? I mean, who is backing up Dak Prescott these days?
It's the great Kellen Moore from Boise State. One of the best college players, really, in the history of collegiate football. But yeah, I'm not too optimistic about Kellen Moore's backup potential. But I mean, Scott Linehan loves Kellen Moore, and that's pretty much the only reason he's still on the team. I mean, he even missed all of last year with a broken foot or something along those lines. So, honestly, the Cowboys' backup quarter situation is a little fishy for me. It's not exactly ideal. If Dak does go down, that's also the thing with quarterback backup situations. Like, I hate to say that if Dak goes down, then the Cowboys are in trouble. I mean, if any starting quarterback goes down, you're in trouble, really. Unless you have a Dak and he just exceeds and passes all expectations out of nowhere. So I hate to say that if Dak goes down, we're in trouble. I mean, if anyone goes down, you're in trouble. If Tom Brady goes down, the Patriots are in trouble. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Who knows? But you know what I'm getting at. But, yeah, obviously I would like the Cowboys to have a little better backup than Kellen Moore. But he's a backup quarterback. You can't invest that much, that many resources into it.
I think we've had this conversation before about backup quarterbacks. I think my view remains the same. I wouldn't pay a backup quarterback $50,000 a year. They're completely useless and worthless players, unless it's a first round pick like the Chiefs or the Bears took when they took Mahomes, and so that's fine. Keep them as your backup quarterback. Otherwise, I wouldn't pay anybody, because you're right, Kevin. Once your starting quarterback goes down, especially if he's a high end starting quarterback who is on a huge salary anyway, then you're pretty much done. So just forget about it.
Oh, you mean like Mike Glennon? Oh, sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Magic Mike.
More wide receiver news. Victor Cruz visited with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's a wide receiver without a job. And speaking of wide receivers without jobs, Josh Gordon will not be reinstated to the NFL. His reinstatement was denied. Unfortunately for him, he now has to wait until the fall, to which I ask the question, what will change between now and the fall besides summer?
Do we know why it's been declined, his chance to come back? Is there any news there, Jay?
Well, one would have to take a quick peek and look at the news, read the actual news article.
Yeah, sorry, Jay. I realize you're not my secretary. I have left work.
To find out. Let's see here. No, nothing being said here other than the Browns weren't holding their breath for his return. so there you go.
Sounds like he's been hanging out smoking then.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know the reason why he's not he wasn't reinstated. Marijuana cigarettes.
It's always a good reason to not be reinstated. All right, so that'll do it for the news portion of today's podcast. Why don't we take a break here and let my guest say a few words about a couple of things he would like to talk about. It's my pleasure now to bring in our very special guest. He is the host of the Cole Sports, that's a Z at the end, podcast. It is Cole Johnson. Hello, Cole. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Pod Vader. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling good. It's we're in that quiet time of the NFL where we're just able to sort of sit back and watch the idiots get arrested or, you know, do something stupid. And so far, nobody has, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is nice, actually. In fact, just in thinking about it, I'm thinking, okay, did the NFL actually throw a mandate down there and said, all right, players, be on your best behavior when they all broke camp for most teams in January? I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah, so far, so good. I'll knock on the wood. And we'll see if that holds up when the summer comes and these guys all go on vacation. But I mentioned your podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you got going on there with the show and what you do on a weekly basis?
Okay, well, as you so wonderfully mentioned, it is Cole Sports with a Z. I'm gonna have to remember to do the bee sting thing. That's actually nice. Sorry. Marketing things. Okay. Anyway, that's part of how my show is. It, you know, I want to cater to the sports fan that actually has the sense that God gave the person, you know, because the typical stereotype of what people think a sports fan to be is one that doesn't use his brain or her brain. They just simply go out there and they just scream at the top of their lungs and utter four-letter words that are not so pleasant to play on air, and they live, breathe it, and just move about their stuff. Like they just walk, like if they're a Giants fan, they just walk everywhere with their whole bodies painted blue. Well, I wanted to challenge all that, you know, because I think sports fans actually can be intelligent. And I was thinking, well, I'm not seeing that lane for me. And I would like to present that lane to other people. So once I actually presented that lane, I've actually seen that there are a lot of people who want to actually have their sports stuff be spoken with intellect, with a little entertainment, with a little comedy. I mean, hey, I do have an award every week that's called Dolt of the Week. So, yeah, there's going to be some entertainment with it. And it really is good. I mean, I've done it for about almost a year and a half, and it's now taken on a life of its own. And I talk about any sports that comes across the pike. You know, I actually like to talk about football more than any other sport, considering I'm from Houston. But I mean, I talk about football, basketball, baseball, some hockey, some soccer, if it's relevant, and in other sports, even boxing as well. So it's a broad show. It's a broad show.
Yeah, if you check out Cole's latest episode, he's talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs, Kristaps Porzingis, Kelly Oubre, and his knocking down of Kelly Olynyk, which I thought, why people thought that was crazy to suspend him, I don't understand what they didn't see. and some more basketball stuff, including the Dolt of the Week, who is a big up-and-coming rookie for the NBA. I won't give it away. You have to go listen to the show, or at least read the show notes on the podcast. But yeah, I love Cole's show, and it's a great listen, so I highly recommend it. And while his show right now is talking a lot about the basketball playoffs, we're going to talk a little football. What you mentioned you're from Houston, Cole. So are you a Texans fan or are you a Titans fan?
Well, I was a Titans fan when they were the Oilers. So that's a very good question that you asked there. I was all about the Oilers. I don't really consider them Titans, although I now currently live in the city where the Titans play. Mm. But when they decided to up and move to Nashville around 1997, I had to sever my ties with them. And now I am a Texas fan, true and true. And I love the team. I love everything about them. And I've followed them ever since. In fact, I attended their first ever game. So, yeah, I definitely can be described as a Texans fan. Yeah.
So what do you think of your team right now? They were one of the three teams that had to move up to get themselves a quarterback in this draft. Now, my feelings are well documented about these quarterbacks and how I didn't feel any of these quarterbacks were worthy of a number one pick. However, I sort of understood after watching what the Bears had to do and then watching what the Chiefs gave up to get their backup quarterback. And then, you know, the Texans were left with no choice. They had to give up pretty much the same price or they were going to be left out in the cold, and they had to get a quarterback. My whole thing was none of these quarterbacks were worthy of a first round draft choice in the first place. So how do you feel about what the Texans did in the draft?
You hit the nail on the head. You really did. I didn't see, I guess you could say, like an Andrew Luck style of quarterback or type of talented quarterback that was in the draft where you have to look at him and say, oh, yeah, that guy needs to be taken first overall or in the first round. No, I didn't see that talent either. However, how the Texans have been, they have never drafted a quarterback in the first round ever since David Carr. And that's been 15 years ago. So they've tried to rely on building a defense because, of course, they've been trying to for the longest. And I think they still had that mentality even years after Manning left, Peyton left Indianapolis. They had the mentality of we need to build our defense so we can compete defensively against a Peyton Manning style team. And they finally built that defense. Funny. They built it to that level after he left the team. And they would build all these other pieces around everything else, but they would just leave the quarterback totally missing. It was as if they would say, okay, we'll plug anybody in there. You know, so, you know, for instance, they had Matt Schaub there. They had T.J. Yates there. They had Ryan Mallett there. Hoyer. Keenum. I mean, they just placed any guy who actually had the ability to chunk a ball 30 yards downfield and say, hey, get behind center and don't mess it up. So it was starting to get to the fan. It was starting to get to the Texans front office, because the fan base 2 years ago in the wild card game they played against the Chiefs at home, when they were getting skunked and shut out in the third quarter, the whole NRG Stadium was booing the Texans. And it was not necessarily because they were booing the team. They were booing the front office, saying, you have waltzed bad quarterback after bad quarterback in our midst. We're in the playoffs. We're on a big stage, and you send us this jalopy. Come on, you have to give us something better than this. You just simply can't plug somebody in there and say, we have a great defense. When it comes to the offense, look, just don't turn the ball over. You got to have somebody that you're invested in. So when they drafted Watson, I thought that was a great move for them. And of the three that moved up, the Bears, the Chiefs, and the Texans did the best because they lost the least in return. So I really loved the move, and it actually sent the message to the fan base in Houston saying, okay, we hear you. We hear you. We hear you. We're going to put forth somebody that we're going to invest for 10 years. Now, he may not be the first overall, and he may not be the best quarterback in the draft, but we're going to put our money behind this guy, and we're going to say, this is our guy, and we hear you. Here he is. And that is what happened, and that's why Deshaun Watson is a Texan.
So is he the best quarterback on the team right now?
I would say, yeah, by a hair. I mean, and I was actually having this conversation a few days ago with a friend of mine. When your quarterbacks are Brandon Wheaton and Tom Savage, I mean, Deshaun Watson probably could walk in there and be the starter week one. I don't think he will be, but it's a high possibility he can be. And there's a great possibility he will be a starter in year one. So I would say that, yeah, but slightly. But I will not be surprised when we go into August and that, you know, and it's the later part of training camp and all throughout preseason, we probably won't hear O'Brien say our quarterback for this year will be probably until, I would even say, after the fourth preseason game they play, which normally it's like, okay, the regular season teams are set, the lineup are set. We know who's going to be the starter. We know who's going to be the backup. I would dare say that we might not know that answer probably until even then, which I think is a bit scary, but I would not be surprised.
Who do you think is ultimately going to win? Is it going to be Savage?
I personally think it will be Savage. Just simply because, you know, look, Watson's an athletic quarterback. He's a good talent. And I actually said this to someone else. If you can get someone who actually is like a quarterback whisperer, and I don't think Bill O'Brien is one, although he has the credentials, quote unquote, to be one. But hey, if I coached Tom Brady, I would be a quarterback whisperer. Come on. if Deshaun had that, then I would say, his chances are greater to start. I don't see that coming down the pipe. So I really see it being Savage that's going to start. But with Savage, he has some injury issues, and he is not the strongest armed quarterback in the world, too. So you have those two things working against him. So I would say, yeah, he'll start, but I think the leash will be extremely short.
I will say the other thing that I'm most concerned about with the Texans and why they didn't end up becoming my boyfriends for the upcoming season is Mike Vrabel. I love Mike Vrabel.
Oh,
I think he was a great lunch pail guy. He's had a great coaching pedigree underneath him, but I don't know if he's ready to take over that mantle as defensive coordinator quite yet.
Well, you know what will help? Because I agree with you. Out of all the defensive coaches, period, I thought he was the best, including Crennel. But for what you said, has he learned enough from Crennel? Because, I mean, of course, he's known Crennel ever since Crennel was a DC of the Patriots and Vrabel was one of the head linebackers there. So, obviously, there's a relationship that goes years back with those two. What helps Vrabel is Crennel has taken a step back. He hasn't really left the organization altogether, but he's going to be an advisor. So he'll have that sage wisdom in his ear, you know, saying, you know, if you see this set, you should probably play it this way. Or if you need help with, I got that, you know, linebackers, because you were a linebackers coach for a few years and you were a linebacker in the league. But if you need help with how to do stunts at the front and what stunts to call in the front, or if you need to know when the time of safety blitz, or if you need to know how to do a Tampa 2 riot or a cover 2, or if you need to know which situation is right to actually go man to man and press or back off and let a wide receiver do his thing, but have the corner cut the route as soon as the break happens, I will let you know. And I think that's good for Vrabel, because if he didn't have that, I would be with you in that line of thinking, man. I would think, well, okay, Vrabel is pretty much here without a net and he's going to be fending for himself. I think this is actually pretty good for him, because he was getting some head coach love. Okay, it was the Rams, but he was still getting some head coach love. So I knew that move was going to have to happen, that they're going to have the Texans were going to have to bump him up from the linebackers coach to defensive coordinator. And this is sort of the right time for that move to be made. We're going to see, though, if he's the right fit for this team now. And if they miss Crennel, or if they have enough of Crennel in him, and Vrabel as well have enough Crennel in him to where it's just a seamless transition for the defense.
And listen, Vrabel is one of my favorite all-time Patriots, and he's the type of player you want to be a coach, because he would be one of the first to admit he doesn't have a lot of natural talent, but he did a lot of the little things right, which helped make him successful in the league. And of course, you know, his clone, Rob Ninkovich, is still with the Patriots, which is just phenomenal. It's the fact, I wonder if all of the players end up getting cloned up there in New England, but,
And here's the thing. I always say to people, if you want to know why the Patriots are successful, look at a guy like Mike Vrabel. And you said it best right there. He's not the most talented guy in the world. He never was the most talented guy. He didn't run a 40 and a 4.5. He wasn't like Ray Lewis that could just simply see the ball and just run right to it in a straight line in a very fast fashion and just knock the stuffing out of you. Vrabel was not that type of guy, but he was the exact Patriot type of player, which is he has the intellect and the cerebral mind to hone in whatever Belichick wanted to have them operate and use so that they can go forth and be in the right place at the right time in every situation, every play, so that they didn't have to have the fancy plays. They just had to make the right plays. And since Vrabel did enough of the right plays, that model was set. And like you said, Ninkovich is the same type of model right after Vrabel.
So before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about some of the things that are happening in the NFL, and you brought up another rookie that was just recently drafted and had a poor experience at another sporting event.
Oh, man. Look, it's rare that I actually feel for an athlete, but I feel for Mitchell Trubisky. I feel for this guy. I mean, so he gets drafted by the Bears, who I just cannot believe they made this huge blunder of just simply trading up one pick and mortgaging most of their future to a team that wasn't going to pick him. The 49ers were not going to pick Trubisky. Their hearts were set on defense. They could have stayed where they were and still gotten him. And here he goes into United Center, and it's supposed to be a good moment of, okay, well, this is the Bears' first-round draft pick, and, you know, Cutler's gone and we want to turn the page to a new era. And, you know, and here he is, Mitchell Trubisky. By 21,000 people. I mean, the city that drafts you is like saying, I don't want you to be here. I don't want to see you. But of course, I also think the Bears are the front office. I think they somewhat they don't understand that they are a city where they are lunch pail. They actually would rather if they were to have made the move of drafting, oh, I don't know, a linebacker, a defensive lineman, or a running back. They, you know, they want the gritty guy. You know, they want the guy that gets dirty in the trenches. They view the quarterback as a pretty boy. So on top of that, here's a guy who only played 1 year in North Carolina, did not beat out the person in front of him for 2 years straight. So the sample size is small. He's playing in a city that the last Pro Bowl quarterback they had was Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon. So we're talking about three decades and some. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a city or a team that really is all about the quarterback. And you're going to a city that's not really about the quarterback. And you're going to a city that loves their team, but is not liking the moves that they're putting forth. I really feel bad for Trubisky. And on top of it, he's not going to be starting because they committed to Mike Glennon for 3 years, $45 million, and threw almost $19 million guaranteed in his face. So the blunders just simply pile up for the Bears. It's horrible.
This is the thing, Cole. I don't necessarily feel bad for Mitchell. I'm sure he'll be fine with his millions of dollars. I feel bad for the Bears fans because clearly that front office has no clue what they're doing. We spent literally, I would say, probably 4 or 5 weeks on this podcast talking about the horribleness that was the 2013 NFL draft, and specifically the horribleness that was the quarterbacks in the 2013 NFL draft. And oh, there's none of them that are worthy of anything in this NFL league. And now they have one that's their starter in Glennon. And oh, by the way, we're going to draft this kid at number 2 overall. I tweeted it out as like my initial reaction to the pick as, oh, Bears, that's what not getting better looks like. And it really is. They don't seem to understand. Now, if Trubisky's their guy, he's their guy, whatever. But let's start with the assumption that none of these quarterbacks were first round worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give the Bears, in hindsight, after seeing what happened in the entire first round, I don't give the Bears as much of a problem for moving up the one spot as I did initially when it first happened. And that's because the Chiefs gave up so much more to move up to get Patrick Mahomes, which I thought was even worse for a team that's Super Bowl, that is a Super Bowl contender. They could have gotten a player that would have improved their team and helped them contend for that Super Bowl this year. Instead, their roster now stands pat and they've got a quarterback for their future. They hope if he can learn how to get rid of all those bad habits. I mean, I'm not even going to go off on the Chiefs again because I've done it enough on this show for the past 2 weeks. But with the Bears, they didn't have to give up as much as the Chiefs gave up. And so to me, as John Lynch is getting all this praise for his rookie draft as the GM of the 49ers, to me, he didn't get enough. He should have fleeced the Bears for more. He could have gotten a lot more for that pick than he ultimately ended up doing. So I can't fault the Bears in hindsight, because ultimately the Niners could have sold that pick to the Chiefs and the Chiefs would have given the Niners a first rounder from next year for that number 2 pick, plus all the other booty that they ended up giving up. So to me, the Bears got a deal in getting their crappy quarterback, who's not going to be able to help them in the future either. That's the way that I look at the Bears. And, you know, Bears fans, I feel for you. I do, because you're going to be right down there where the Cleveland Browns used to be.
Oh,
although
no.
Have the Cleveland Browns really done enough to get themselves out of the hole? I don't think they have.
Well, you have to understand, though, look how far they've had to climb just to get to this point. I mean, they were so far down, the abyss was the ceiling for them, you know. So, I mean, they were. I mean, I can't think of a franchise that has been so low in terms of what people think of them, how their play was on the field, how the front office has been, how the players think. You know, you have to go almost all the way back to probably the 90s before the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams and probably the 90s Bengals. I mean, that I would say those two teams probably were competing with each other for basically just cellar dwelling type of play and cellar dwelling type of franchise understanding. That's been the Browns almost, maybe for the exception of 2 years, since they have become the Browns again in 1999. So, no, they haven't done enough. However, this has been the best draft they have made ever since they have become the Browns again. Mm. And they dare say, did they actually do Patriot style stuff with the draft? Mm. I mean, they did the smart thing, because the smart thing was not to go with Trubisky, not to go with the hometown guy. So they stayed put. They got Garrett. They need a pass rusher, because if you're in a division with Dalton, Flacco and Roethlisberger, you need to have somebody that's going to put pressure on them. So smart move there. Then, yeah, a lot of people, and I at first said this too, I'm like, well, why the heck did the Browns trade down? They need to have a quarterback of some sort, because let's be completely honest, Brock Osweiler, enough said. You know, I mean, so I was thinking, why the heck are they trading down from 12? They need to have a quarterback right there. So they trade with the Texans. They trade down to 25, and they get Jabril Peppers. Now, there's some danger to that, but I think with the Browns, they need to roll the dice a little bit. So I'll give them a pass for that and say, okay, that probably is a good move that may work for them. Then they trade back into the first round later, and they get Joku. And I think that's a really good tight end, because one of the things that I think helps a young quarterback, any quarterback, period, but definitely a young quarterback, because if you have a reliable tight end that when all is lost and you're under duress and you know no routes are looking good to you and everybody's covered, you need to have that tight end that can bail you out. And I think Joku is a good tight end that actually can help in that matter. Now, it sort of was interesting that they decided to trade Bainbridge before that, but still, they got a tight end that actually is a good weapon for a young quarterback. And then they draft said young quarterback in Kaiser, who is under delusions that he is the next Tom Brady. Memo to Kaiser, please don't wear Uggs. Okay, as I was saying, they were doing Patriots-like stuff, so I give the Browns credit for that. But I agree with you, they're not out the woods, but they have made a good start.
I definitely agree with you. And with the Peppers move, I had mentioned in our draft recap, a team that needed everything. I'm just not sure they needed the everything player to fill every role that they still needed to fill.
Right.
Before I let you go, why don't we do a dolt of the NFL? Because I know you've got some strong feelings about one particular guy out there.
Oh, gosh. And this almost like, okay, well, let me narrow it down. All right. So I don't have much love for the owner of the Chargers, Dean Spanos. I don't have much love for Stan Kroenke, the owner of the now Los Angeles Rams. I don't have love for those guys. But for the moment, I will say the dolt of the NFL for now is one Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. And why is that? We heard that after he decided to punch a wall in Lambeau Field after their loss in the wild card round, that he was going to be the kinder, gentler, more mature Odell Beckham Jr., that he wasn't going to be the guy that was going to be on Instagram twirling and dancing as if he's a ballerina, or coming up out the jacuzzi water singing Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. But he was going to be a guy that was going to be about all business. So last month, he goes to Coachella, has a good time, has to go to a youth football clinic in New York, and is an hour and a half late in getting there. So, so it's that. And then I saw an Instagram picture actually just a couple of hours ago of him posting up in a tattoo parlor, getting a tattoo on his behind. And all I can think of is the new name for you now for me is Diva in Pads. I do not care if you get 100 receptions for 1,600 yards with 10, 11, or 12 touchdowns in a year. More power to you. You got great skills, my man. But with that behavior, that is Diva in Pads. It just grates my nerves because it just, I can't even think of this as being youthful exuberance or youthful mistakes. It's just, I really believe he intentionally does this stuff. And it just bothers me. I'm like, you have the whole world in your oyster and you play in the number one media market in the world. Why are you wanting to actually be a billboard for trollism? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm like, just be you and do your job. And that's all you got to be. You don't have to do all this other extracurricular stuff.
I don't know. Some of them feel like they do. I had seen an interview with Brandon Marshall, who's now on that team. And they had asked him if he had been with the Giants during the playoffs, would that boat incident in Miami ended up happening? And Brandon Marshall said, if I had been on that team, there's no way in the world that that boat incident would have occurred. Certainly, if it had, there wouldn't be pictures of it. So right. Hopefully Brandon Marshall can help guide the youngster and bring him back to sort of reality and understanding that, the NFL is a business, but it doesn't have to be the business that he seems to be making it right now. Cause, he's definitely turning off a lot of people that, he could certainly benefit from having in his corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was a good move too for the Giants, a veteran presence that's hungry on top of it because he's never been in the playoffs. So there's motivation for him to actually be one that shows up and one that can actually push Beckham to actually be more of a business-like presence, more of a business-like player. And I'm not saying that Beckham has to button it up and be all about business suits everywhere he goes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like you said, the extracurricular stuff, the stuff that is for branding, close quote. Some of that, well, actually, a lot of that is not necessary. It just isn't. So, hopefully he can get focused and not propose to Nets again.
Well, see, no, actually, I liked the net thing. I was going to say he can continue to propose to the net on the sideline, but just all that other stuff, unnecessary. Yeah. Cole, where can people find you?
They can find me on colesports.com. That's colesports.com. You can catch me and all my episodes on colesportswithaz.com. And of course, I'm all over Twitter, Cole_sports, Facebook, Cole Sports, and on Instagram, Pinterest, and all other places. But you can definitely find me, colesportswithaz.com.
That is Cole Johnson, host of the Cole Sports podcast. Thanks for joining us today, Cole. Appreciate it, man.
Pod Vader, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
There's Cole Johnson of Cole Sports, his podcast, and of course his website, and that's sports with a Z at the end of it. So go check out his show. It's one of those shows intended to be of the more brainy level, going a little bit more in depth on the cultural impact of what's happening on the court and how it affects people off the court. And I said court because Cole has been covering a lot of basketball here lately. But we did talk a little bit about the Browns and how the Browns have done a lot more to get better, even though in my eyes, they still really haven't gotten out of that hole of that's what not getting better looks like quite yet. Cole gave them a good grade, though, for their draft. And admittedly, they did have a good draft, but they're still lacking a quarterback, as are a lot of teams. But there are, this sort of leads to the next thing, is there's still a lot of free agents out there that I think can help a team out immediately. And we went through a couple of these before we started recording. And Neil, I'll start with I'm going to start with you, Kevin. Jason McCourty and Tremaine Brock are right now on the top of this top 50 NFL free agents list. Both those corners could probably help your team out in the secondary, no?
Both of them could definitely help out the Cowboys in the secondary. I mean, just the veteran presence and the experience would help us out. I mean, the Cowboys' secondary is almost it's almost a little scary how inexperienced the Cowboys' secondary is at this point. I mean, besides Orlando Scandrick, we're going to have Anthony Brown, who this is his second year. He was a rookie last year. Then we drafted Jordan Lewis, Cheeto, obviously, as everyone knows, who are expected to make high contributions this year. And Byron Jones, who's still in his third year playing safety. So the Cowboys secondary is very young. I mean, the Cowboys definitely aren't going to sign either of those two corners, but it just wouldn't really make sense because the Cowboys just want younger players across the board. They're just trying to rebuild their entire secondary, so they don't want to take on someone who's 30 years old at this point. But in my opinion, it probably wouldn't be the worst idea because someone's probably going to get hurt eventually. Scandrick has been playing through injuries for the better half of 24 months now. Anthony Brown, I'm still not sold on him. He could have sophomore decline. So taking one of those players, I think, would be a decently smart move for the Cowboys, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, Neil, I mean, there's some other corners on this list too. Darrell Revis, who had said that he would take less money than what he was currently making to play for a team. Brandon Flowers, who's a cornerback, and Alteron Verner. Those are all guys on the top of this list of free agents, all guys that I still feel can contribute to a team looking to contend in the playoffs and maybe even further.
But one of the reasons the cornerback guys are all on this list still and all sitting out there waiting is simply because in the draft, there was about 150 cornerbacks drafted this year in the draft and some tremendous talent coming out. And as for Paul Kruger, Jay, I think his transition to cornerback is not going to go well for him.
No. But it does transition me to a little bit more conversation about linebackers. One area that I do feel the Patriots are lacking this coming season is the linebacker position. And there are some good ones that are still out there. And honestly, I think the Pats could do well with both inside and outside guys. And I'm looking at Gerald Hodges, Perry Riley, DeAndre Levy. Those are the top three. Paul Kruger, I just mentioned. Elvis Dumervil also still available, Rob. I mean, these are all guys, again, that could come in and contribute right away.
Yeah, I think, I think with linebacker, and specifically with inside linebacker, we have seen a little bit of a switch over the last couple of years in that, you know, those kind of downhill run-stuffing guys are not getting the contracts in favor of other guys who can stop the run a little bit, but they can also, they aren't a huge liability in coverage. So I think that's what you're saying. I think the cost of, inside linebackers has gone down from the team perspective, and some players are just, and agents are not agreeing with what's out on the table at this point. I think with the outside linebackers, you see Dumervil, I think, you find him the right fit. He's 33 years old, but he can still rush the passer. Paul Kruger, kind of the same deal. He's getting up there. Now that we're out of the compensatory area where if you sign someone, they aren't going to count against the draft picks you get for compensatory, you may start to see some of these names come off the board. Some of these, specifically with the older guys, you may just see them wait until training camp gets going because they really just don't want to participate much in training camp.
Yeah, most of these guys I've mentioned are 30 and above, but Gerald Hodges is 26. And I know, Kevin, you're kind of hoping that maybe Dallas finds a place for him.
The Cowboys, I hope, find a place for a lot of defensive players. If it was Madden franchise, he would have been on my roster about 2 months ago. But I just looked his name up, actually. I think there's a high possibility he's going to find a spot in New York here with a Patriots division foe, the Jets. I read he just had a visit there either today or yesterday. I mean, he's still has definitely some in the tank. I'm pretty sure he's only 26 years old. Last year, he had a pretty decent season on the worst defense in football, the 49ers. Recorded a few sacks, good tackle man, had a few interceptions. So you're saying the Patriots need some inside linebackers. I think Gerald Hodges would be just like a perfect fit for Belichick, and have him do what Belichick needs to be done. And I think he would be just an pretty much a great fit in New England. But thankfully, it seems he's going to the Jets, so he will be lost in the middle of a horrible D again, and perhaps will be finding himself in free agency 2 years down the road again.
Neil, you have a question for Rob.
Yeah, I see Jairus Byrd on this list, Rob. Is he going to be a man to return the prodigal son?
I mean, he could. I think his style kind of, you know, he's rangy. It kind of fits what the Bills are going to be doing on defense with that, you know, shell cover two, cover three system. And then also his dad is actually the defensive backs coach of the Buffalo Bills. I think the only two things that would prevent it, I don't know what he's asking for money-wise. The Bills aren't in a position to really offer much in the way of contracts. But also, when he signed with New Orleans, he got destroyed by Buffalo fans on Twitter. So maybe, I don't know if he still harbors some resentment over that, but he got demolished on Twitter. They were not very nice to him.
Rob, I have a question for you, too. I see that Aaron Williams, another former Buffalo safety, I think he's a very good player, but obviously his concerns are heavily related to his being able to stay on the field. Do you think he still has a chance to be successful in this league? Obviously not the Bills. He's not on the Bills anymore, but I think he's a pretty good player when healthy.
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised they released him. They were saying it was about the injury, and I'm sure to a certain effect it was, but he was on a pretty expensive contract. Doug Whaley loves to hand those out, by the way. Glad he's not there anymore. But he was, I think, at about $6.5 million, and so it was really little incentive to cut him from a salary cap perspective this year. There was quite a bit of dead money. But that being said, I think that if he gets a chance to play somewhere, you know, I think he can play well. I think he's a really good safety. He just had he just went to Jacksonville to visit there, which I thought was interesting because when Doug Marrone left, you know, he had a buyout in his contract. He was one of the more vocal players about how their coach quit on them. Doug Marrone actually had his assistant text everyone. He didn't tell the players that he was leaving. And Aaron Williams kind of lit him up for it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Rob, Neil wants you to gush about your off season and your new GM some more.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and for the first time in quite a while, I am legitimately excited about the future for the Buffalo Bills. when Rex Ryan was hired, I was not happy. You know, it's been a while. It's been a while. But now Doug Whaley was a man who would give out terrible contracts, would overpay anybody and everybody, went behind the coach's back to cut players because he wanted to cut them and the coach didn't, you know, things like that. Went against Doug Marrone's wishes on the Sammy Watkins trade and on drafting EJ Manuel. That fun stuff, really kind of a conniving, you know, front office person. You know, obviously you want your head coach and your GM to work well together. Now the Bills they hired Sean McDermott, and in free agency, I liked what they did. They just did a couple low cost moves. Getting rid of Aaron Williams, I think, was just an example of what you're going to see with them over the next couple years. The Bills have quite a few bad contracts on their books, and I think they're going to start to gradually release, you know, get rid of them, and you know, kind of, you know, clear the cap a little bit, because they're, for a team that's as mediocre as Buffalo, they should not be in the type of cap trouble that they're in. So then they go, they have the draft. I thought the Bills did a great job in the draft, picking up the first round pick. They probably picked up three day one starters in the draft. You know, they moved up to get guys they wanted in the later rounds. And then a couple days ago, they hired the assistant general manager from the Carolina Panthers. I believe it's Brandon Bean to be the Bills GM. And he's going to work well with McDermott. So, you know, they've worked together for 6 years. Bean is not a, you know, scout type GM. He's kind of had his hand in everything from contracts to, you know, you name it. So really kind of looking forward to a different culture for the Buffalo Bills and maybe possibly a winning team coming up pretty soon. That would be a nice change.
So I don't want to encourage what I'm about to say. Let me be very clear on this. I do not encourage expansion, but there are enough players on this list that you could field a fairly competitive football team. Maybe not a playoff contender, but certainly one that could finish the season 8-8. Certainly give yourself, just using the free agents on this list, certainly give yourself a fighting chance in a division.
No, I agree with you, Pod, that besides the quarterback position, there's more than enough quality players in the NFL or upcoming prospects to NFL to expand the league even two more teams, even four more teams. The problem is the quarterback play already is future at times. So expanding the league is just not feasible at this point. I'm sure the NFL wants to. But if the NFL had their quarterbacks in place, if they had a stockpile of 36 starting caliber quarterbacks, then they would definitely be on their way to expanding the league to 36 teams just to make more money. It's just that even the NFL knows they can't do that at the moment just because the quarterback play is already so bad.
Neil, you wouldn't want to see a team full of these cast-off free agents playing over in London?
No thanks, Jay. Yeah, and Kevin nailed it in terms of the quarterback play. There's just not the quarterbacks. There's not the quarterbacks for 32 teams, never mind expanding it to 34 or 36. Plus, how many times have we had conversations about offensive linemen and the fact that there's just not enough quality offensive linemen in the league? No. If anything, I would like to see the league maybe drop a couple of teams. I would certainly put, we could certainly throw Dallas and Philadelphia into that mix.
Let's have some fun, guys. What do you say? Not that we haven't been having fun, but our Steelers superfan Greg wrote in our Slack channel the other day, so in the hopes of starting another ridiculous conversation, which TV channel do you think each current NFL starting quarterback should be employed by during their retirement? He started us with this list: Aaron Rodgers at E, Kirk Cousins at CNBC, Colin Kaepernick, HBO or Fox News, Ben Roethlisberger, NBC, Dateline, Russell Wilson, whichever channel has Blue's Clues, those weirdos will be great together, Drew Brees, C-SPAN, and Tom Savage, PBS. I did ask for a little bit of clarification on some of these. I mean, Rodgers is Hollywood, which makes a lot of sense. All former DC big shots end up on CNBC, so that would be for Cousins. Brees is a big union guy, so public office in his future, which would mean C-SPAN. Tom Savage is old and tired, but the Texans were rebranding him as the hot new guy, like PBS does with all those BBC shows, Neil.
Oh, BBC. I heard it.
What's funny is he also like tried to head off everything at the front by mentioning that Dateline works for Ben Roethlisberger because of Catch a Predator, which Greg said it about his own guy. No one else had to take that shot. Maybe he was just making sure that Patrick didn't get his shot in. So a number of you have tweeted at us at NFU Podcast and responded to my call for some suggestions. So why don't I read a couple of those? I'll start with a gentleman who responded to my Facebook post. His name is Matthew Passy. By the way, he is the host of the Pod to Pod podcast, which is great. It's a podcast about podcasting and the business of podcasting. He wrote in, pick any from the list of shows that have been canceled for poor performance. That's your Jets quarterback. Kevin, I think you said you had one for your former boyfriend there.
I mean, of course. What am I not thinking about, Romo? But I think a great show to compare to the one and only number nine is, I don't know if you guys remember the show from, I think, early 2000s, Freaks and Geeks. It only had one season, unfortunately. I forget the network it aired on.
NBC.
But it was a great show. It was a great show. Got canceled after one season for God knows what reason. Had a star-studded cast. It was just an amazing show that never got the appreciation it deserved. Could have gone so much better places if it had a better supporting cast or people that believed in him. Romo. But I just think it's a perfect comp. Great show, underrated. Romo, great quarterback. Never truly given the respect or credit that he deserves and never will.
Rob, did you have any that that you were thinking of?
I did do one. The one that kind of stuck out to me is probably just because I'm such a mark for the show, was Arrested Development, if you remember that show. The reason why is, you know, when the show first came out, no one really paid too much attention to it. Took a couple years to kind of to realize it was a good show. Has a definite cult following. Tyrod Taylor is like an analytics darling. According to some of those, you know, like Pro Football Focus, all those websites, he's like a top 12 quarterback somehow. He's not. And like the TV show, he's probably going to get canceled from Buffalo after three seasons.
Neil, how about you? What did you think of the Kirk Cousins comparisons?
Well, I've just Googled what CNBC is, so I felt a bit like a limbo dancer with a lot of those things, Jay, because quite frankly, they were going over the top of my head, most of them. The ones I would throw in there, though, I'd say, I mean, you guys probably have lots of music channels, MTV and the like, correct?
Sure.
Well,
they don't do music anymore,
here,
but yeah.
Okay, well, you can take a music channel and maybe stick some of the league's best pass rushers in there because they like the TV channels there. They keep delivering the hits.
Ah, well done. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Neil, I have a question for Neil.
Okay, I'm ready.
Neil, BBC, did BBC air the show The Fall? Are you familiar with the show The Fall?
No, I'm not familiar with the show The Fall. Sorry, Kevin, but quite possibly. I mean, who knows? I can't speak for every BBC channel because there's not a time.
Of course not. How rude of me to think that you could.
I'm guessing it probably would do, because I spend most of my time watching sport anyway, or fishing programs, so I'm an expert on those, Kevin, but that's about it. But Jay, I would throw another one in there, and that is your DIY channels you've got there. You were telling me earlier, what do you have, Home and Garden, is that right?
Yeah, we have a DIY and a HGTV, Home and Garden.
Well, I would definitely say that any DIY channel and home improvements channel, that's Washington's area, because quite frankly, in Washington's house, the biggest room for room in there is the room for improvement.
Another well done line from you, Neil. You always come with the good stuff.
I sit here the whole week, Jay, just prepping it.
Yeah, I was going to actually say The Fall, it reminds me of Kirk Cousins, because it's a little slow to start out at first, and people sort of lose patience with him or the show, but it turns out to be a great show, and I think Cousins turning into a great quarterback. So my secret love affair with Cousins is continuing in this very public manner, though I guess it's not very secretive.
You're great, Kevin. You're great. You're a wise man.
Well, at Jaked2782 wrote in Rodgers equals American heroes, which could fit. Matt Ward, our new Titan superfan at Titan Chaps, sent us this beautiful picture of Andrew Luck and Ryan Fitzpatrick in Civil War garb and said Luck and Fitzpatrick to History Channel. And it's really fantastic. The mutton chops on Luck and the, of course, the giant Amish beard of Fitzpatrick. It's great. At Randy_Beeman, and Davey, we know you're not fooling anyone with that. Davey, our Viking superfan, wrote in Sam Bradford equals the DIY channel, Neil. It's fine when it's on, but mostly forgettable and not as good as HGTV.
Yeah. not too bad.
Your line was better.
Can I throw another one in there, Jay?
Please do.
You might already have this, but do you guys have the you'll have Comedy Central over there, is that right?
Oh, yes.
And do you have Comedy Central Extra?
Probably, no, I don't. So.
We have that where it's like 1 hour in advance, so you can kind of, if you miss something, you can go back and watch it for some stupid reason. Who knows why? But anyway, Cleveland Browns would have to be the Comedy Central Extra because they don't just put the comedy in the game. They take it to a whole new level.
I believe someone wrote that one in. I'll have to, when I get through the list. I do have a long list here. At J Fanuf. F-A-N-E-U-F wrote us and said, I always thought the show Nip Tuck was a documentary about Jerry Jones, Kevin.
Oh, another unnecessary shot to hit the Dallas. Oh, man. Should never came on today.
At Avatar81, his name is Dan, says, next season for Andy Dalton, The Runner, hashtag no offensive line. very true. Very, very true. Some more from our super fans. Let's see here. Let's go back to Matt, our newest Titans super fan, who says Marcus Mariota. He's almost too squeaky clean, like all of the cheesy Christmas movies my wife loves on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, so true. Oh my God. He's a lifetime movie for sure. Russell Wilson and Mariota. I just can't stand them because they're squeaky clean. Wannabe pristine image. It drives me freaking crazy. Oh my goodness. Spot on.
He's got ones for his previous Titans quarterbacks too. Jake Locker, anything medical because he spent the majority of his career hurt. Kerry Collins is TV land. Gray bearded starting quarterback, gotta rep the old shows. And Zach Mettenberger teams up with Roethlisberger for a show about burgers on the Food Network.
I have one for your boyfriend, Jay. It's not a show, but it's a very old movie that the internet loves to make fun of. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It's called Manos, the Hands of Fate. And this is perfect for Mr. Blake Bortles himself. If you go on many Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb, whatever, there's plenty of great reviews to read about it. Like most of them along the lines of amazingly awful or things like that. But, like, here's one of the greatest comments I ever read. I remember reading it junior year of high school, and to this day, it still cracks me up. But here it is. In Manos, the Hands of Fate, we basically have driving, more boredom, a feeling of being mentally assaulted within the first 15 minutes, more driving, some rather purposefully necking, and then somehow this all translates into being the most awful but amazingly entertaining movie of all time. And to me, that is Blake Bortles, just because he's so fun to make fun of and to watch what mistake he's going to make next.
How dare you take shots at my boyfriend? How dare you?
No, but for real, you guys should read the reviews on that movie, and you'll get some good laughs.
Our Texan superfan James, who unfortunately was unable to join us today, he had some good ones. Andy Dalton is BBC America. A lot of hype and has some quality stuff, but is confusing to the people that insist it's really good and infuriating to people who are told he isn't as good as they think. of course, Patrick, our Patriots superfan, used this exercise to take shots and took one at your guy, Rob. Tyrod Taylor is WGN. Is he a network? Yeah, I guess technically he is, but not really.
He's a top 20 quarterback. There are a lot of worse quarterbacks than Tyrod Taylor. Leave Tyrod out of this.
Our newest Atlanta superfan wrote, I'd have to say Matt Ryan is the CW. Looks good on paper. Has some really great moments. Hasn't grabbed the big one and brought it home yet, but you know the potential is there. The CW really is that network.
I didn't know the CW was still around.
oh, the CW is big with the millennials. Plus, they've gone all in on the DC universe, superhero universe.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, that explains it then.
Yeah, every night. Yeah, Neil, every night, the CW, which is sort of the, I think it's like the combination of what UPN and the Frog Network is. And they have a lot of like, it's definitely that older teenager, younger college age kid. That's sort of what their target audience is.
They used to have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right? That's the only thing I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's I don't think many dudes watch that channel, to be honest with you.
No. But
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. What's this Frog channel?
I don't know the name.
The WB. That's what the Frog channel used to be.
Yeah. Has it spawned any other shows?
The WB? The WB, I know. What was on the WB? I don't know.
Buffy? The OC. No, Buffy. Probably.
Was Buffy originally one of those on the WB? I don't remember.
Well, what would the Patriots be, Jay? I have a good one for the Patriots. I think that their whole organization and Tom Brady himself is just a Seinfeld. I mean, any given moment you turn it on the TV, it'll make you laugh. Classic show. Unfortunately, that's a huge compliment to the Pats, which I hate to give, but honestly, I think it's fair.
Well, we had a couple of suggestions. There was one that was kind of spot on the nose. And of course, I didn't copy it, but it said Tom Brady would be Fox and Friends, which is probably where he's going to head once his career as a quarterback is over. Chicago Tom wrote in about his guy, Mike Glennon, lost in space. Chiefs Nick, I didn't get this one, but Chiefs Nick wrote in that his quarterback, Alex Smith, would be Ben Stein. I don't know. I don't know.
Who's
about
that?
Ben Bueller. Stein.
Yeah. Bueller. Ben Stein also was apparently a member of the Nixon administration.
Mm-hmm. Who's Blake Bortles? I think he could be a combination of the Jerry Springer Show. I mean, not Blake Bortles, Brock Osweiler. A combination of the Jerry Springer Show and Maury Povich Show. Just hilariously great entertainment for all the wrong reasons.
Seahawks Justin, in response to Chicago Tom, says, no, Mike Glennon is Animal Planet because he's a giraffe.
He's a giraffe. His neck is, oh my goodness. Great.
Patrick jumps back in on Jay Cutler saying he should have gone to the Bum Fights YouTube channel. Now that's just mean. That's just, Patrick just likes to be mean. Yes, Neil.
What's the betting when all said and done? Jay Cutler turns out to be a better analyst than Tony Romo.
That's impossible.
Are they going to let him drink pregame?
Well, don't they all do that?
Seriously, if he's got a little Jack Neat in his hand while he's doing this, he's going to be great.
Wasn't that the key to Pat Summerall's success?
Mm-hmm. It's a fine line. Don't go over the line.
The only chance Jay Cutler is successful on television is if he does a reality television show with his wife. That's pretty much it.
I'd watch that.
Well,
I'm telling you, he's going to turn out to be one of these guys you think, oh my God, really? He's going to be brilliant. And Tony Romo's going to be just like, oh God, go back and work with Kevin.
After all, can't you support my man? After all the sporting I've done with Kirk in the last few months, I'd like some reciprocation.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Romo might be perfectly fine, but you just know that Cutler's starting off from such a low point. He's going to turn out to be absolutely brilliant. It's just fate.
Our Texan superfan. I'm going to jump in because we still have so many of these to get through. Our Texan superfan has a couple of good ones. Carson Palmer is FX. You think it's better than it actually is, and when you check in on it, you realize it's mostly a late 90s, early 2000s nostalgia machine helped along by Archer.
Which I like that one. That's good.
This one. And then he writes, Eli Manning, AMC had two great series, Super Bowl wins versus Breaking Bad Mad Men, but now it's just reduced to people screaming that it's either worse than people give it credit for or better than people give it credit for. Now that's just wrong. AMC has got The Walking Dead, and that show is the best show on
television. Better Call Saul.
Yeah, it's got that one too.
Better Call, yeah.
Still has to watch that show.
Yeah, that's too much credit for Eli.
Let's see here. Rivers would be on CMT. That's the country music channel, Bolo Tie King. here we go. This is Seahawks Justin. Dak Prescott, the Discovery Channel.
Why is Dak on the Discovery? I suppose. But I honestly don't know a good show for Dak. I was trying to think of one. I really couldn't. I don't know what that says about me and a Cowboys fan that I sort of gave up on picking a show for him, even though I knew we were going to be talking about this. And I decided to have one for Tony Romo instead. But who knows, Dak, if anything, he's more like a throwback 90s cartoon. The Rugrats, Tommy Pickles, young leader, just determined to lead the troops. And he does so very successfully in every mission, even though he's very raw and inexperienced, but over time he will make about 10 seasons, one of the best animated cartoons of all time, and he'll be a Hall of Famer. So that's Dak for you, the Rugrats and Tommy Pickles for sure.
Oh dear God, stop.
Monty will bring us to an end here. This will be the last one. Monty, our Raiders superfan, says Matthew Stafford on whatever network carries Party Down South. That's the Bravo television network. There you go.
How many television networks do you guys have? All these AMWs and CWs and frogs.
There's quite a few, Neil. There's quite a few. And on that note, it is time to say goodbye for this edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Only 9 minutes longer than what I had promised at the beginning of the show. Hey, I think that's pretty good. That's progress, ladies and gentlemen. Progress. If you want to send in some more of these fun ideas, you can do so by emailing us nextfanup@gmail.com. Of course, you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And we do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You can always check out what we have written. I know James Texans had some topic ideas he's written about, and you can read all about the value of quarterbacks and where they're taken in the NFL draft on our website. That is nextfanup.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to our show and leave us a review, if you will. When you do subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, AHA Radio, anywhere great podcasts are heard, we would love to read your reviews, and it helps us find more audience. And with that, I leave you with our newest member of the team, backup Steelers quarterback Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.